We are the 1, 2, 3
SAR Losers!
What up, everybody? I'm Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I am pretty much a sports genius.
What's up? I'm Eddie. I'm the opposite of that. I don't know anything about sports. I'm your average sports watcher. I'm a fan, but I don't know the who's who and the what's what's.
Your intros get better and better
Thank you, dude.
The days go by.
Thank you.
The more confusing, more you kind of know, you don't know, the who's who's and the what's what.
Yeah.
What up, you guys? I am Ray. I love to make fun of these guys. I used to give locks. I took a day off. I may take another day off. I want desperately to have a lock to make you guys money. But when you're ice cold, just like anything else in life, you got to take a day or two off. Yeah, feel me on that one.
You've been ice cold.
Ice cold.
Coach, did you get batteries for the shocker?
No, I didn't.
Okay, we forgot again.
No. I just didn't have time.
Okay.
I've been busy. And there's a lot to talk about today, so I didn't. I felt like the game, we can play it at any time. I just wanted to introduce it that day, and then I forgot it. The battery didn't work. Okay, then we move on, and now, I mean,
It's up to you. I have batteries right here if you want to fill it up. It's up to you.
Well, you got the big battery?
I got the batteries that we need.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
So why? Wait, no, you didn't.
Right? These are it.
No.
It's a different kind of battery?
You had me put my tongue on that square battery.
Ah, you're right. I don't have that kind of battery. You're right.
Oh, look. It's,
my bad.
So Eddie's now learning that different devices take different size
batteries. No, hey. Hey, look at Eddie taking initiative. I was like, he was going to be the hero.
Yeah.
And now he's a zero.
And we all know the average American household remote takes AA. That's obvious.
Well, and I have AA's, but it's a 9-volt that it needs. The square one.
It's a square one. I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
the square one is
always something that goes in, usually the stuff for animals.
No, it's
for some weird reason.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Honestly.
For animals.
Yeah, like teddy bears that talk. You open up the back and then you put it right.
Oh, yeah, they connect them to the back. How do you know that?
Right? I don't know. It's just something I've always noticed. Like
that's funny.
Different types of batteries and stuff like that. The AAAs are going to go in your smaller type stuff, and the Omega batteries go in your watches. Guys, thank you for listening to our operational battery minute.
Yes, and we like to start the show with a Would you rather? Would you rather have a horse's tail or a unicorn horn?
Interesting. And this is so we would have to always live with
yes.
The tail, you can hide. It seems like the unicorn horn is going to be there, but with the millennial age, all these millennials, for some reason, and emojis, they freaking love unicorn horns. It's the unicorn type millennial thing. I would almost be fine with the unicorn horn, even though you can easily hide the horse's tail.
I mean, let me talk this out, because I feel like the tail, the first thing I thought of was the toilet. Like, I'm going to have to get different toilets. How am I going to sit on human toilets if I have a horse tail? You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to get in the way, or I got to put it behind it or something. The unicorn, how am I going to get in a car? How is my head going to fit in cars? It's going to poke the top of the car. Coach, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go with unicorn.
Wow, I'm going with the horse's tail. It's so much easier to live life with a tail than a horn. You're at the club trying to dance. You're poking people. You're knocking people out of the way with your horn. You can't ride a roller coaster with a horn because it's going to get caught on the trees above. I mean, at least a tail you can tuck underneath your legs, sit on it. I mean, it's not going to affect you that much. You may knock a drink off the table every once in a while when you're walking.
What animal tail?
A horse.
Well, that's just hair.
That's what I'm saying. Like a dog's tail,
too bad.
You kind of... Okay, you knock a drink off when you're walking through the living room when you're going to get something to drink, and there's something on the coffee table. But a horn? I mean, you're going to be ripping holes in the wall. Everything's going to have to be bigger. You're going to have to get a sunroof on your car.
Yeah, you can't get in a regular car.
Yes. So the horn to me seems like it would be impossible to live with.
But how cool would you look if you had a unicorn horn? Like, you'd be at a bar and people would be like, dude, look at that dude's unicorn horn. How cool is that?
And also in terms of Instagram and money and getting paid and these new things where it's the celebrity endorser on Instagram. With the horn, you're going to have 1 million followers. You're going to have all these endorsements. With the tail, I don't think you're going to have a million Instagram followers. Yeah.
But when you're out places, people are going to try to ring your horn. They're going to try to throw things and land it
on
your
horn.
That's going to be annoying. Like everywhere you're going to go, oh, here, let me see if I can throw this on your horn. Stupid. Hey, can you get that with your horn? Can you reach that? You know,
you're at the grocery store. They're asking, can you get the Rice-A-Roni on the top? Hold on, give me a second, my horn.
When you're Dave and Buster's, you can't reach those animals on the very top shelf until you get an assistant. If you have the horn, you can just grab it for your kid.
Right. Dude, what if you walk into like a living room with low lights and you just start knocking light bulbs out with your horn?
Yeah,
I don't know. You're right.
Well, I mean, there's
because
no
the horse tail, though, really, it's just hair.
Yeah.
It's not like a cow's tail or a tiger tail or a dog's tail. It's just hair.
And you could almost trim up the horse's tail into it, maybe a shrub or a bush. Instead of it being a long tail that's really an extension.
You can style it.
Yes.
And kind of make it your own.
Yeah, so I almost picked the wrong one on that one.
That's maybe. Okay. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just, you know, it's a spur-of-the-moment decision, and you decided on the horn, and you didn't think about it all the way. I mean, that's the whole point of the game is you make bad decisions sometimes.
I've changed my mind. I'm going with the tail.
I mean, it's not really going to happen. So, like, when we leave this podcast, you're not going to have to get a horn, so it's okay.
Okay.
The trouble with those would-you-rathers, we get so into them for a second, I really do think that I have a horse's horn or a tail.
Yeah, life would be tough with a horn.
It's a unicorn horn.
Still a horse.
Is a unicorn a horse?
It's not real, guys. Unicorns are fake.
Would it be considered a horse?
Yes.
Huh.
I mean, the fake animal that it's on, it's a horse, yes.
Why is a unicorn never running the Kentucky Derby? How amazing would that be? Well, Mark, here you go. We've got a unicorn for the first time trying for that triple crown.
He starts stabbing the other horses in the butt.
Mark, you know the unicorn's fictional. That horn is fake.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, they're not real.
They're not real.
Yeah.
And what's also unreal is Bryce Harper. This dude, the Nationals offered him 10 years, $300 million, and his agent, Scott Boras, turned it down and said that's probably about $100 million under the asking price. Like,
wow.
I mean, I thought that as soon as you said it. I just automatically think baseball players make a crap load of money. And
that
for
is
Bryce
the
Harper,
richest contract in free agency history.
That's 10 years.
Amongst all sports.
I mean, the guy wins the home run derby, and you're going to give him that big of a contract?
Did he win?
Yeah, he beat Schwarber in the finals.
All sports, that is the richest free agent contract offered ever. Ever.
And if he has postseason experience, it's minimal.
And it's not very good.
It's not very good.
The results are not very astounding.
And I want to say he didn't even hit 300 this year.
No,
I hope I'm
no
right.
Chance did he hit 300. He maybe hit 255.
I knew from fantasy that he wasn't above that.
So bad. And when you give players these long contracts, when does it ever work out?
Never.
Never. If teams have learned anything, the Angels are still playing Pujols like $25 million a year or something for two or three more years. The dude can't even play baseball anymore.
Yeah.
He is taking up a roster spot. You're paying him so much money, and he's not worth it. What have the Angels won with Albert Pujols?
But you're taking the Nats, that's the Nats' problem right there. Like, why are they offering a 10-year deal, right? What do you have an issue with? The money or
both.
Bryce Harper turning it
down?
That
he turned it down and that he expects $400 million? That's ludicrous. If any team pays him $400 million over 10 years, you're not going to get your money's worth. It never works out. At the end of these 10-year deals, what happens? They're not any good anymore. Look at Alex Rodriguez. He got the 10-year whatever, the huge deal from the Yankees. He ended up retiring before it was even done, and they still had to pay him. They put him in a quote-unquote front office role because he was so bad on the field.
And it shows that baseball wants these guys that are big money people. So you got people want these Bryce Harpers. Boom, we can land that big name. Boom, we can land Yasiel Puig. Is that because there's not many big name players in baseball? Boom, you got to offer him $300,000.
It's a good point.
$300 million.
It's a good point.
$300,000.
Sorry, I was talking in terms of us.
Hey, maybe the superstar status and just the jerseys alone and all the merch like is worth it to them.
The merch, I get. You're going to make money on merch. But winning-wise, towards the end of their career, it doesn't pan out. They think he's going to be a superstar in the league for the next 10 years. I'll give him at least 7 years, yes. But after that, it just seems to always fall apart. It never works out.
And I know in baseball there isn't the Madden curse. In football, there's the Madden curse. You get on the cover of it, you end up getting hurt that year, the year after, you end up having a bad year. Something like that. It's a real thing. Look it up. WikiLeaks.com or something like that. But if there is a curse in the baseball side of things, MLB The Show, he's the new cover boy of MLB The Show. So there you go. There's that as well.
He's 26 years old. So when the contract is over 36 years old, that is a long time. Long time. I just don't think it's worth it. I can't believe a team would pay him $400 million.
I would almost rather get a pitcher. That guy only hits once.
How old is the oldest player in the major leagues?
I mean, it's probably homeboy CC Sabathia. He's well.
Yeah,
in
he
the
just
40s.
Signed, he just signed a 1 year, $8 million deal. With
I mean,
the Yankees
he gets
back.
His fat out there. Excuse me.
But he's a pitcher.
He's toned it up. But
no, he has not.
He is in his 40s and he is still throwing the ball and throwing it past people well into his 40s. That is amazing.
Yeah, because he's 38.
Only in baseball can you do that. Vince Carter, is he very close to 40?
He might be 41.
He just dunked it the other day. I saw it on SportsCenter. Amazing.
That's pretty amazing.
That's amazing that he can stay. You can be that old and still. Tom Brady's 41 years old. It doesn't seem to work. Pitchers is different because you only pitch once every 5 days, so you can be fat CC Sabathia, and it's okay. You don't have to be in shape as much.
Right.
But I don't know. If someone pays him, I mean, Manny Machado is going to get a big contract, but I cannot believe they want to pay $400 million Bryce Harper.
Well, and the name you said, Scott Boras, is he an agent for everybody?
He is an agent. He's the
in
he's
our
the
lifetime,
king agent.
He
Who
has
is that
land,
dude,
he's all over the. I remember him with T.O. Whenever Terrell Owens was in crap, boom, weird stuff being said. Scott Boras, face of that, he stepped in. He seems like he's one of the agents for all these top big money players in sports.
His net worth, $400 million, Scott Boras.
Wow, if you're a kid right now and about to enter college, you want to get a degree in being a sports agent. And you want to be the next big sports agent.
He was Greg Maddux's agent, Kevin Brown,
yeah,
I mean, Alex Rodriguez.
You know the funny thing? There were some guys at my college, I remember, I didn't have really big aspirations. I was just like, oh, I'm going to maybe do some radio or TV. I never thought I was going to be the biggest TV guy, the biggest radio guy. Some of these guys in college had aspirations to be a sports agent. You're never just a small sports agent. If you're a sports agent, you're a baller for one of the big major league players. And you're making tons of money, right? I'm curious if any of these guys. I mean, you're not.
You saw Jerry Maguire. He had to leave his firm.
There are smaller agents that don't get. I mean, you get a couple clients and that's it.
Yeah. Okay,
but
that's
you,
what Jerry
you're
Maguire
still making
was about.
Good money, though, right?
You're still making good
I'm
money.
I'm gonna say you don't see a poor sports agent like some guy living like in the slums and he's a sports agent.
Well,
they're
it depends
all making
who your client
deep.
Is though.
Also, you don't hear about those. You only hear about the. True. Scott Boras.
I'm curious. These guys I went to college with in Chicago at this private Christian school, I'm curious if these guys ever became sports agents.
Why don't you Google them?
I wish I remembered their names. It was a day and age of not Instagram, and so I don't even
remember. You're not even friends with them on Facebook or anything?
I deleted my Facebook, and I don't remember their last names because in college it was so cool you didn't get asked people their last names. So I really just know their first names. Chris, Kevin, stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You can't find that on Google.
Hey, what year were you at the school? Maybe someone knows them.
Okay.
Where were you at?
Well, I mean, it was 2004 to 2006. Chris, Kevin, they were on the baseball team.
At what school?
At Olivet Nazarene University.
What on earth?
And they always said they wanted to be sports agents. I'm so curious if they ever became that. Because I was like, oh my gosh, that's an amazing aspiration. Why did I not think of that? I'm just stuck here now doing radio. Because, I was in these boring radio classes,
right.
And I'm like, they're going to be a sports agent? They're going to be the next Drew Rosenhaus? But that probably all failed, and now they're doing taxes for somebody.
That could be true, too. But that is an interesting – I never even thought of that as a career as a kid. I never
Neither
realized.
Did I.
But now, when you see the big ones, they make a lot of money. Now, did you guys watch college basketball last night?
Oh, my gosh. Do we have our most powerful team, Alabama, in college football?
Guys, if you missed Duke last night, you need to look at Duke's schedule, and you need to start making an appointment to watch Duke basketball.
Zion Williamson, I told you about him. You need to learn that name.
Yeah.
Well, after last night, you for sure have to learn that name.
I'd
memorize
heard of
it.
Zion Williamson.
Now you really have heard about it.
He just to put it in perspective, he is Aaron Judge on the basketball court.
Whoa.
He is 6'7", 285 pounds. So he's as tall as Aaron Judge, and weighs a little bit more than Aaron Judge.
But he has fat boy quicks.
Explain what you mean by fat boy quicks.
He's big and he moves
fast. He's a bigger dude, and you'll never believe how fast he can move.
Exactly.
I've never
seen it. He is 285 pounds, and he is smooth. It does not. He moves like he is a 180-pound dude. He does not move.
So is he fat or is he solid?
No,
no,
he's
solid.
He's solid.
Okay. That's why you can move.
Have you ever watched
a game? Well, no, no. A 285-pound person should not be able to move as good as he does.
When you watch Zion Williamson, you will at times think he doesn't have basketball shoes on, that he has ice skates on. He is that romantic on the court.
It's poetry in motion?
Absolutely. There's sometimes when he will block a shot, dunk a shot, triple axel as he's doing it.
Huh.
I've never seen a time.
Triple axel.
When they should almost do scores after something that he does. Like,
wow.
I give it to 10.
That's a 9.5.
Well done.
To put it in perspective, LeBron James is 6'8 and weighs 250. This dude's 6'7", weighs 285, and is very smooth on the basket. I mean, it was very nice to watch. But I was even more impressed with R.J. Barrett last night of Duke. Dude can just, he looked skinnier. But he was so smooth. Also, they had some, I mean, Duke looked really, really good.
Coach, they're stacked. They are a super team. A super team has now been created in college basketball that is comparable to the Golden State Warriors. So Warriors created that super team. I mean, it exists in college basketball now. Super team. They took on a Kentucky team that's always dominant, that's always amazing, and beat them by 30 points.
The difference is Kentucky looked like a bunch of skinny kids.
Yeah.
And Duke looked like men. I mean, like, well, when Williamson just pushed everybody around.
When Duke landed Zion Williamson, it was just like, oh my gosh, that was the biggest land almost in college sports history. That was like the Shaq. That was the, they never went to college.
Well, yeah, Shaq went to LSU. And
the LeBron. Here's the thing. When you landed him, you're like, oh my gosh, he's not going to the NBA. Land him.
Well, he couldn't go to the NBA.
Exactly.
But he was only the number two recruit in the nation. But he wasn't even number one.
In my book, he was number one.
But Duke has the number one, number two, and number three recruit. The top three rated players in their class all play for Duke.
That is crazy. Should there be rules to kind of stop that?
No.
That is so unfair.
It's all about recruiting and probably also about athletic companies paying people. That has something to do with it because
Adidas.
It's not just Adidas. Well,
were any of the players wearing Adidas last night? You better be watching that nowadays.
Yes, Kansas was.
Oh, God.
Kansas basketball is sponsored by Adidas.
Uh-oh.
That's why they were in the trial.
I know. They didn't swap that out and maybe get some us.
Well, they're under contract. They can't.
Guys, can we get some Pumas in here real quick?
They can't just swap it out in the middle.
Dude, they can't get a Skechers contract?
Skechers.
That's all they had left. Sorry, we couldn't do Adidas. You know that stuff.
Hey, you know how when you sit here and you're like, you throw like, he's 168 pounds or 268 pounds. Like, how does that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I fluctuate like 10 pounds up and down like nonstop. Sometimes I'm like 20 pounds more than I was 2 months ago. Do they update that, or do they?
That's at the beginning of the season.
Okay, so they just, that carries on for the whole season,
right?
Okay.
For the whole season, that's what they'll say they weigh. They may lose weight, they may gain, especially college players. They may get heavier because they may strength. What do you call it? Strength train, strengthen. You know, lift some weights, pump some
get
iron.
In shape.
Yes, but they also may lose weight because of all they're practicing more, they're playing more.
Yeah.
It's harder physically. In high school, they can just rely on their athleticism to dominate. Now they're actually getting into shape. You see some of these guys come into college and they're so out of shape, they can only play 10 minutes a game because in high school they were just so big, they just dunk on people, no one could stop them. But that ain't the case over there with Zion. He's in shape, he can handle the ball, he can shoot, he nice pretty shot from downtown, saw him drain a three, I was like, okay. But if I'm playing against Duke, just me watching, I'm playing a zone and I'm making them shoot the ball over me.
That's the way to do it. Stay back.
Stay back and don't let them drive on you.
Is that driving, what the zone means? Stay back?
Yeah, that's just kind of like a lazy man way. Sit back. Let's not let them dunk on us, but try the three. We'll get the rebound.
Right.
You guys try that three.
Well, it's harder to rebound in a zone defense because it's harder to find a man to block because you're not guarding man to man. When you're playing man to man, it's easier because you know where your man is and you're supposed to box him out for the rebound. What you're saying is, usually with a zone, A, we're not as athletic as you, so we can't guard you one-on-one. And your athleticism is going to kill us, and you're going to get in the lane and just kick our butt. So let's see if you can make shots.
And let's just hope you miss.
Yes. So you assume that they're not going to be able to shoot well enough to beat you, and you're going to take the chance. You think you have a better chance beating them with them shooting over you instead of them driving on you and dunking on you and getting layup after layup after layup.
Got it.
And that's what Syracuse basketball. Me and Eddie did a bet one time where we did the over on Syracuse basketball.
Never bet the Syracuse over.
They play so slow. They play this zone, and they let the shot clock go to zero every single time. It's the weirdest brand of basketball, but they love their zone in Syracuse.
Okay.
So that's probably the style, the Syracuse style. Do that every game against Duke. That's your only shot.
Yes, and Jalen Rose, I mean, I understand he was part of the Fab Five at Michigan. Dude needs to relax and quit being such a hater.
What was he doing?
He came out immediately last night. Zion Williamson wouldn't even have started for the Fab Five. Okay.
It was like Uncle Rico.
Like a little bit Uncle Rico. Like,
yeah, the Fab Five. You guys couldn't even call timeouts correctly.
The Fab Five was Duke's team back in when?
Like the early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember who was on that team?
Was Jalen Rose. Early 90s. Oh, gotcha. I don't know.
Hey,
no,
was Coach K coaching?
Sure.
No, because the Fab Five
was
Michigan.
At Michigan.
Oh, it's Michigan. Okay.
And they're well known for Chris Weber called timeout.
Chris Weber,
when they didn't have any timeouts. Juwan
Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And then one guy was from Austin, Texas. How do we know the other two dudes' name? Ray King, maybe, and some other guy.
Coach, but props. I just knew one, too.
They were the first ones to have long shorts in basketball. They kind of created a culture.
Before then, it was all short shorts?
It was the short shorts. And they wore the black socks. They were like, what is this? And they were awesome. They all started as freshmen. And they were bad mothers. They were so good. But he comes out immediately and says he wouldn't even start. Like, the dude is 6'8", 285, and can move and shoot and dribble. And you're going to tell me he couldn't have replaced one of those guys?
That's not even worth debating. He's just a radio guy that has to come up with all this shock jock stuff. They wouldn't even have started on the Fab Five. Okay, shut up.
I understand you want to think your right. team. I mean, you want to have your boys back. Like, that was your team. You guys were great. But just admit, don't automatically say he wouldn't start for the Fab Five. Wasn't even the best team of all time. So we're not even saying he would start for you. He's just really good. And he's going to be, I mean, he's one and done, folks. So get ready. Whoever's in the NBA, that's going to be your number one pick.
Yeah, that's the culture now. They're all one and done. Kentucky, Eddie goes, hey, are they the same players? I was like, dude, if it's Kentucky, I remember, I'm sure all their guys went to the NBA. It's a whole new team at Kentucky.
Pretty much.
That's what who Duke was playing.
Kentucky had a lot of size last year, and now they're just all small dudes.
No, they had size last night. They're just too skinny.
Okay.
Did you see, I mean, if you looked at them next to Zion Williamson, he just kept, and it looked like he was running them over because they have no meat on their bones. And I think that's Kentucky every year. If you look at them, they have tall dudes, but they're all skinny.
Dude, Zion Williamson, if he thought there were going to be any challenges in college basketball, he's now thinking to himself, man, this is amazing.
It's one game in. He's going to have challenges.
He just played Kentucky and beat him by 30. He's like, guys, I had tougher games in high school.
I have a great year.
He's like, I've never had this great of players on my team.
He's going to have tough games. He's going to run up against – if you come up against Kansas, you got Azubuike inside who's a legit 7 foot and 300 pounds. He'll be able to hang with him. You won't be knocking him out of the way.
Well, that's what you have to root for this year. I think with Alabama, we're done rooting for Alabama to lose. With Duke, that's the root now. Every week, you know, you're going to follow the Duke games. Are they going to lose? Are they going to lose? Or are they going to be one of the teams that goes undefeated, which I don't – has there been a team – there has to have been a team that's gone undefeated.
Well, the Kentucky team a couple years ago went 38-1.
That's what I think.
Didn't win the national championship.
I've remembered
in the Final
one or
Four.
Two losses, but I almost need to look that up. Has there been a college basketball team ever to go undefeated the entire year?
Did we talk about this last –
Yes. And if there has been, I guarantee you that they haven't won the national championship.
You mentioned UNLV.
Yeah, I think UNLV.
I remember St. Joe's. There's been times that other teams have gone 20s, close to the 30s undefeated. But that is
1956, San Francisco. 1957, North Carolina. 1964, UCLA. 67, UCLA. 72, UCLA. 73, UCLA.
We're getting closer.
76, Indiana.
I mean, it seems like every year in the 70s.
But in our lifetime.
Is that the last one?
That's it.
Yeah, in our lifetime, there hasn't been a team to go undefeated. Crazy. Close. But if Duke, that's the thing to root for this year. Did they lose? Did Duke lose? And what sucks, we have a buddy, Random Kid Cody. His favorite team's Duke, and he's not going to shut up. And he's going to be the most annoying person I know. Him and his chick, it's like St. Patrick's Day, and they wear Duke stuff. And I'm like, what? Don't you wear green on St. Patrick's Day? That's how they're annoying the Duke fans are. You wear blue.
Well, this is what they live for. I mean, this is their sport. Like,
oh yeah,
this is what they're known for.
Because if you're a Duke fan, you don't really have your NFL team. You don't really have an NBA team.
This is it.
NFL team's probably what, the Carolina Panthers. But your team is Duke.
Yeah,
that's your solid. That's your moneymaker right there.
Correct.
That's your baby.
1990-91, UNLV went into the season as the defending national champs, ran the table in the regular season. Made it to the Final Four and lost to Duke. They went 34-1.
Dang.
Wow. Close.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's awesome.
Do you see this Duke team losing Lunchbox?
Yes.
You almost today, you have to say yes, because these kids, they get a little cocky. And they
have a lot of freshmen.
And I don't think Kentucky's as good as Kansas. I think Kansas is dirty good.
Kansas is really good. They're deep. They showed it last night. Last year, they get in foul trouble. They played seven players, so it was just, oh my gosh, how are we going to survive this game with only seven players? This year, they go 9-10 deep.
Wow.
9-10 deep, so if you get in foul trouble, you just bring someone else off the bench. But the thing with it now, the three-point shot, there's so many people that shoot three-pointers that one team gets hot, Duke's going to lose.
Right.
But they could be one of those teams.
When you see Duke beating Kentucky by 30, that is unbelievable.
Yes.
As good as Kentucky is, they killed them. Dude, Duke scored last night. with less minutes than an NBA game, about an NBA total, like 118 yeah. points. That's what NBA teams put up.
Yes, not college.
Yes, dude.
Pretty crazy.
And the NBA teams have 48 minutes. These dudes, what do they only have 40? I think it's 20 each half.
Crazy. Yeah, Duke. I mean, they got Army. Oh, this is gonna be bad. They play Eastern Michigan. Oh boy.
They might be. Duke might score 200 that game.
And they might give up 20. Oh, that's sad. But.
It could be the first.
But it was awesome. College basketball's back. It was a good night. And Des Bryant's back now also.
I might have missed it.
He signed with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah!
This.
I'm the only one clapping.
Because it's kind of anticlimactic. The season's halfway over. Well, we've already now seen all these good, amazing receivers. And we're like, oh, maybe Des wasn't that great.
No, but this is the best thing for Des.
Yeah.
This is the best thing for Des.
Dude, he was sitting on his couch.
Exactly. And it's a low risk, high reward for the Saints. They don't have to pay him very much money, and they have another wide receiver. He's not the number one option. He's not the number two option.
He's like three or four,
three
right?
Three or four. Yeah. Right, he's number three or four. So the good thing is he's not going to be getting double-teamed.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to – and if he's – he doesn't have to be as wide open as he used to. Like, Drew Brees is a great quarterback
yes.
and can fit the ball into where? Small windows.
Bread basket. I've been teaching my nephew that. You got to hit a guy in his bread basket.
If he will catch the ball, he's going to have plenty of opportunity, and they don't need him right now. This is a play for later down the road.
Does he start Sunday?
No. I would say no. It's got time to. You got to have time to learn the playbook. Give him a couple weeks when the playoffs come around. That's really what this signing is about. It's not about this week, next week, or the week after that. It's 4 weeks down the road, 5 weeks, here we come playoffs, if you're going to make a move to the Super Bowl. Des Bryant, this is the – and then you can prove that you still have something and maybe get the contract you were hoping you were going to get this offseason, next offseason. But if – and this is a perfect locker room. There is no drama. Drew Brees is a leader, and they will shut anything down. There will be no temper tantrums. He will have to just go in there, play football with a great – quarterback.
Whoa. Guys, the deal's not even signed yet. The deal gets signed tomorrow.
Okay.
Like, which means there's a chance he can even blow this. He's agreed to it, but the deal has not been signed yet.
Then how would he blow it?
It's all about that signature,
being
right?
Dez, like being Dez, asking for more money, being stupid. I don't know. There are a number of ways he can blow this.
Like, where do you see he hadn't signed it?
I just read an article right now. It says, Des Bryant is back in the NFL. He is joining one of the top blah, blah, blah. Former Dallas Cowboys receiver has agreed to a one-year deal with New Orleans Saints. A source confirmed to Adam Schefter.
Okay, if Schefter's reporting it, that's almost taken to the bank.
Sources told Schefter that Bryant, who will sign the deal Thursday, is comfortable to blah, 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 blah.
Okay, well,
I mean, but it's not official.
No, it's official.
Well, you're dotting I's, crossing T's. That was Benjamin Franklin era. Nowadays, as long as you agree to it,
guys,
if Schefter tweets it,
nobody gets paid.
You realize when Chef tweets something, it's official.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
He's not going to blow it. It's over. Like, he's going. I mean, he's going to be on the Saints.
Hey, and you know this playbook thing? This is almost like in school when we had finals. Is he pulling all-nighters trying to study this playbook?
He's going to have to.
Because he's got to learn some of it. You can't just – the only thing he knows
right
now –
And that's what I'm saying. He's not going to know it all by this Sunday, so he may play 20 snaps because he knows 20 – you know, he has 20 routes.
How crazy to go – Dez, you think about it. He's doing his workouts probably with his personal trainer, him and his boy. Hey, man, you want to meet up at 9, do a workout? Cool, man, cool. Jumping on tires, throwing the football, everything's fun. Nowadays, boom, he's on an NFL team. Boom, you got to meet all these people. Boom, you're doing media and press. Oh, yeah, you also got to learn this really thick playbook that's like 300 pages.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
He is so stressed out right now.
It's overwhelming. In a matter of like seconds, it's from couch to like, you're right, press tour. I mean, look at everyone that's going to want to interview.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Talk
and
to
what
him.
City were you living in? Cool. Moved to New Orleans, too. All Boom. Of that at once.
Not moved to New Orleans.
No?
You just get an apartment.
Okay.
Sure. You're not moving. You're going to have your clothes, and that's it. Because you're not moving, you got to study a playbook. You're going to get an apartment, probably furnished already. The team probably has a connection with an apartment complex close to the stadium or a practice facility. Here you go. Move in. So he brings two suitcases of clothes, and he's ready to go.
Yeah. Still a lot, though.
A lot of life events immediately, in an instant.
The dude probably thought his career was over, right?
No.
Not over.
No, because he's been talking about he's going to sign. He's been working out. This is what he's been working for.
But once you get towards the midseason, you start to think maybe the season's a wash, though, in the back of his head. So this is awesome. When this came through, he was like, okay, let's roll, baby. Let's do this.
And you get a top quarterback that is going to – you're not going to have to be that – I mean, if someone can be all over you and you're still open when it's Drew Brees, and it's going to be – if you work hard enough, you can see the reward. I mean, he's just going to, it's going to be good for the Saints, too.
I wonder if they've met before, too. Or if this is the first interaction, so Breeze like, hey, man, hey, are you as crazy as the media makes you seem and all that? Oh, you're not? You're cool? All right, what's up, dude? I wonder, like, their first interaction.
I would assume they all know each other pretty well.
And then Dez
right?
is like, oh, man, media always says you're short. You are short. What's up, dude?
I bet they've met at a Pro Bowl sure. or okay. Some NFL function. They may not be friends. They okay. may, hey, how you doing? I'm Drew Breeze. Hey, I'm Dez Bryant. Nice to meet you. Because some people, they're just not friends or they've never met. But two people that have been to the Pro Bowl, I don't know if they were in the same year, but I assume they've met.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I would assume
you gotta think
that.
They've played each other before, so they've probably talked to each other before the field, before the game or after the game or whatever, you know, like. I'm sure a lot of these guys know each other. Yeah. Not friends like Lunchbox said, but I'm sure they know each other. And
a lot of them grew
more.
Up playing against each other. True. So, like, if you went to the same college or rival college or you grew up in the same state, you played all-star games against each other. Obviously, Drew Brees is way older than Dez Bryant, so they didn't play against each other when they were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I think it's a great get for the Saints also because it's low risk, high reward. It could turn out to be huge, and they're going all in. They think they are a Super Bowl contender.
Especially after they just beat the Rams. The Saints are right now on cloud
That's
nine,
my
baby.
Next question.
Yeah!
Who is the best team in the NFL right now?
Saints, baby.
The Chiefs.
Saints, did you not read the news about Dez? Saints, baby. Woo!
No. What happened to Dez?
Dude,
tell me.
Jump on the Saints bandwagon right now.
I still think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL right now.
Go for it.
I mean, you just watch them. They're just good. I mean, their defense is mediocre, but their offense is just unstoppable. They're going to outscore you all the time. Unless Mahomes gets hurt or Tyreek Hill gets hurt, they lose one of their, I don't know, five offensive bombs, like then they're in trouble. But right now, they're the best team in the NFL.
Best team in the NFL, the New Orleans Saints.
They
beat the previously undefeated Rams, who, in my pecking order, was the best team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them. They signed Dez Bryant, which is another weapon. They now have home field advantage through the playoffs if it started now in the NFC. That seven in a row, I mean, they are just hot, hot, hot. Kamara, Ingram, Breeze,
Thomas.
I mean, Smith, Bryant, here we go. They are the best team in the NFL, and their defense is starting to play all right. I mean, I understand against the Rams it was a shootout, but yes, that's exactly what you expect. But I have the New Orleans Saints as the best team in the NFL right now.
Man, if you're in the state of Louisiana, the Saints, baby, they are here.
Who dat?
Who dat?
Who dat?
Who dat? Who dat nation?
Who dat?
Yeah, who dat?
Last week I had a list of who could win the Super Bowl. I need to add a team.
You
to...
didn't have the Saints?
No, I did have
okay,
the Saints.
Thank God. Thank God.
I need to add.
You can add the Chargers like I did?
I need to add a fan base that can win the Super Bowl.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, he's the 12th man.
What?
Seattle? Who is it?
The Pittsburgh Steelers are officially in Super Bowl contention. Congratulations, Steelers fans.
Why?
They just look good. Their defense is looking good. Their offense is starting to click.
Smith-Schuster.
Juju.
They took care of Baltimore last week. I mean, I just thought they had they looked good. They in the beginning they started slow. They barely, you know, they tied the Browns. I mean, that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And now they seem to be rolling. They seem to gain momentum. So I think they can win the Super Bowl.
The age-old question.
Go through your list one more time and see if I remember.
I have the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Carolina Panthers. The New Orleans Saints,
okay, well,
and the Los Angeles Rams.
How many are you
That's
picking?
That's it.
He picked 17.
If this bet keeps going on for another week, okay. Dude, he's going to have like 12 teams.
Next week, I'd like to add one more to my list.
I hate to tell you, 7 out of 32 teams is not a lot, guys.
Yeah, no, good job.
Sneaking in as an honorable mention, the Tennessee Titans.
That's how you do it. You realize that.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I hear it.
No, it's good.
Hey,
I don't see what the problem is, guys.
No, no problem. It's just funny. The problem's funny.
No, 7 teams
that's
out of 32 have a chance to win the Super Bowl right now. That's it.
No, I know. Most people just do like, all right, here's my team that I picked to win the Super Bowl. But it's all right.
No, at the beginning of the year, I picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl.
That was your first pick?
That was my first pick.
At the beginning of the year?
Saints versus Chargers in the Super Bowl. I had the Saints winning. And I'm just saying that.
But Chargers aren't in your top 7.
Right now, they're not.
Okay.
But that's the thing. You have the Chiefs. The Chargers, all they have to do is beat the Chiefs, and they can win the division. They're one game back.
I did say the Chargers are a great team.
As good as the Chiefs have been playing, they may not even win their own division.
Bam. There's your team, Eddie. Chiefs. Oh, brother. We need to get brother in to talk about the Chiefs again.
Yeah, we haven't had a Chiefs update.
Oh, brother, I love them, but I am worried about them Saints, brother. Ah, we are worried, brother, in Kansas City, brother, about them Saints, brother.
Also, congrats, Nick Mullins is the starter this coming Monday night when the 49ers take on the New York Giants.
Wow, good job, 49ers, starting the third string.
Garoppolo hurt, Beathard sitting.
Well, he got hurt, and then Mullins impressed.
Mullins became Mullins.
Man, in San Francisco, we are learning. We've learned three quarterbacks' names. That's very impressive.
Not bad.
With my hometown Titans, I only know Mariota. And then they got Blaine Gabbert, I think.
So all you quarterbacks
know three deep.
All you quarterbacks that feel like you don't have a chance, go to the 49ers. They're going to give you a chance. You could be a superstar.
Realize, so I'm the front runner audio guy for the show.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the backup, how crappy he would be? Can you imagine the backup to my backup, how god-awful that audio guy would be?
Or he's better than you and you just never knew it. Because you had the
job. He never got a shot.
That would be scary. But in this industry, I know that I'm the best. Those guys would be inferior to me. But that third deep in our world would be horrible in the NFL. It's startable. Here you go, baby. You're a starting quarterback.
This is the same.
And he's good and he wins.
This is the same in everything in life. Like, there's always someone better than you behind. You just have the job right now. You have to always continuously get better at things.
So you're telling me there's a video guy.
Absolutely.
Your backup to your backup that's better than you?
I'm 39 years old. There is a video guy just out of college that's just killer and knows all these cool tricks that I don't even know anymore is waiting to take my job. So I have to continue to work every day harder at my job to keep it. Guys, this goes for everything in life.
There is a point to that. Like, Tom Brady works hard every single day. Why? Because he doesn't want the young kid to come and take his job. He's 41 years old. Drew Brees, he's the old man on the block, but he keeps working. Why? Because he wants to keep his job.
Yeah.
Now, it's harder for quarterbacks because there's not a lot of good quarterbacks out there, so finding a new one is really tough, but they do keep working harder and harder. The fringe, like a good example is fringe, like wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They're a dime a dozen. They cut them, bring someone else in.
There's a crap load of them.
There's people that they just in and out, in and out, in and out. Man.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. So good for him.
Dude,
I'm rooting Mullins on. Like, that's very cool. Like, he never thought he was going to play in the NFL.
He probably thought everybody. I wonder about that.
But look at, like, who is it? It's Josh McCown's brother, you know, Luke McCown. Like, the dude never, like, got a chance. Like, they sat in third string, you know, or maybe was he back up to Drew?
Yeah,
but I don't know what he was, but like, it just, when you're sitting back up to a superstar like that, you're just, unless they get hurt, you have no chance, and they're just going to sit. Sometimes you're a backup for 30 teams, and you never start, ever.
You know why? Because you're not good enough to start.
I know, so I'm sure Mullins, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure Mullins in the back of his mind is just like, maybe I just don't have it. I'm just going to sit third in the 49ers roster, you know,
happens. You have to stay motivated as a third stringer.
That's,
you know,
the
how
hard
easy
part.
It is?
That is the hard part.
I wasn't on that level at all, but I was the backup tailback, and I was just like, well, I'm never playing. Coach, if I would have got thrown in the game, like as a starter, running start, I would do a play in the fourth when we're blowing somebody out. If I would have done like the whole playbook, I wouldn't have been ready. I was the backup. That was my mentality. I get they're getting paid for it, but still to stay in the game and be like, I got a chance. I got to keep, let's go. That's impressive.
That is so impressive to be ready when your number is called. That is the hard part. You think you're so far on the depth chart, man, I'm never going to get a shot. And those kind of people, I think, are the ones that don't make it. They fade out. The ones that are prepared, that still come, they're the Rudies of the team. They, every day, they give it their all, and they are prepared just like everyone else, thinking, one day I may get a shot. One day I may get a shot. And this proves that when you get that shot, if you take it, just take it by the, you know, what
the
do you
horns.
Want?
The horns. Grab it by the horns.
Yes, I was going to say grab by the balls.
Well, you could do that too.
But I didn't know if that was okay. I got a little nervous.
It's fine,
I was like,
right.
Grab by the... No, I shouldn't say that. But he did it.
Hey, just grab him by the nuts.
So yeah, congratulations to him. And then Michigan came and took LSU's spot in the top four.
They had to. They beat Penn State so bad, you knew they were getting into that top four.
And you warned LSU. You warned LSU.
I wasn't warning LSU.
You did, though. You were like, hey, guys, just heads up. You're not going to stay in that spot for very long.
Well, I was warning the college football fans that were upset that LSU was in that spot.
It wasn't a warning to
LSU. It was more of a warning to either they were going to be number one because they were going to beat Alabama,
right,
or they were going to be out of the top four because they were going to lose to Alabama.
Right.
So everybody that was upset that they were in there and ahead of Notre Dame, even though Notre Dame's undefeated, I was like, guys, just relax. It will be settled this Saturday. They're going to either be number one or they're going to be out. So it doesn't matter. Last week's rankings, everybody was so upset. But you got Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, the top four. There you go. But guess what, guys? It's going to change. Like, we all think, oh, that's the four that's going to be in the playoffs. It's going to change.
Well, and what sucks is Notre Dame and Michigan played at the very beginning of the year. I wish they were playing, like, this Saturday. That would be amazing.
Well, you can't predict that stuff,
I know.
Coach.
I mean,
no, I love that they played at the beginning of the year. It shows you that it was a good game.
Yeah.
Because Washington and Auburn, they played at the beginning of the year. Guess where they're at now? Number 25 and number 24. It was a top 10 matchup. We thought they were two of the best teams in the country. Turns out they're not.
They're both not.
So I'm glad they played at the beginning of the year because that's when we thought they were good. If they were playing this weekend, I wouldn't even watch it.
Yeah. I just wish we had that dirty game. Like, that would be sick. Kind of like how we had with LSU and Alabama, even though it was a blowout. That was a cool game at that point.
At this point of the season,
they were both
cool.
In the top four-ish. And then now I wish we had a top four game.
Yeah. Alabama this week plays Mississippi State, 20-point favorite. Mississippi State.
Mississippi State has been burning some people because didn't they beat A&M, dominated them.
Dominated.
Nobody, not a lot of people saw that happening. So be careful. Is this you might get burnt?
No, they're number 16 in the country. I'm just saying.
You might get burnt. Watch out.
No.
Okay.
Alabama is amazing.
But with the 20. With the 20, they burn.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, 20's a lot.
20's a lot of points.
20 is a lot of points. I would not bet it. But and emotionally, does Alabama get up again for the game? Because they just got up for LSU, number 3 in the country, and blew them out 29-0. So are they going to be emotionally up again? Or is it like, oh, man, we just beat LSU, like a little letdown game. It's going to be a little closer.
And Alabama knows they can lose this game and still make it to the national championship and still win it all.
Can they sit Tua?
No. No.
Hey, proactively, they just sit their guy. They're cool with losing.
I mean, let's just lose this one, boys.
No,
save our quarterback.
No,
because we've learned, though, you never want to go full steam the whole season because it usually doesn't lead to winning a championship. We learned that with the Patriots. We've learned that with other teams.
What are you talking
about?
I'm
just saying, they don't think they get burnt out. Like they always say with March Madness, you don't want to go into that, you know, you almost want to lose a couple before you get into March Madness.
Humble yourself a little bit.
Does Bama want to lose?
No, Bama doesn't want to lose. I will agree with you. If you're in the college basketball, I'm weird. I don't think a coach would say this, but I think you want to lose before March Madness. You don't want to go into March Madness on an 18-game winning streak and then because then you're winning. The odds of you winning 24 games in a row, that's just not very good.
Just playing the odds, though, but what does it do for your psychological?
And 24 games.
Well, if they're on an 18-game winning streak going into the tournament.
Coach, I thought you were saying March Madness was 24 games. I was like, gosh, I don't remember those teams playing 24 games.
No, it's like I'm saying, and that's just me as a fan. I don't know how coaches think. They probably, because they buy into the press clipping sometimes when they are in a big winning streak and everybody's talking about them, picking them. Oh, you know, they've won 18 in a row. They're unbeatable. College
kids,
they start listening to that, and they're like, oh, yeah, man, we don't need to practice. We don't need to run those laps. Like, we're so good. We got this.
Hey, I think I thought of our title for the podcast. Bama needs to lose this week. It's smart business move. Alabama people are like,
Bama's decided to lose this week
for business reasons so that they can win the championship.
But yeah, because it does mess with your head. You know, you're undefeated. You don't have to work so hard. Like, I get that. Like, I get that more of than the stats of, like, you know, you go undefeated 10 games in a row, you're going to lose one before. Like, that's not a thing to me. Like, people can't. If the ball's rolling, sometimes it just doesn't stop. But,
well, in roulette, it stops and it goes on one of the numbers.
It stops automatically.
It'll go on.
No, but if, like, the team's on fire,
you're telling me if I'm playing roulette, sometimes the ball never stops.
Okay.
It always lands on a number, folks.
So you're telling me if we're playing basketball out in the driveway and I swat for a shot and it starts rolling down Silver Creek, it's never going to stop?
What's the slope of the street?
I mean, it's a downhill.
It could never
stop.
It's
downhill to Oak Creek, but then after that, it kind of levels out.
Hey, when you're at the roulette table, can you tell them I'm betting that the ball doesn't stop rolling? They're like, that's because of gravity, it has to land on a number, sir.
Forget
Excuse
it,
Excuse me, I'd like to bet the bet if the ball never stops rolling. What is that bet? I'll give you a 1,000,000-to-1 odds, son.
No, I understand what you're saying. When the ball is bouncing your way, it's just, it's destiny. It's fate.
Yes, yes.
Fate.
Yes, I don't believe that it could just because you're on a streak, it's going to come to an end at some point. You could win it all.
You could, but in my mind, I'm like always thinking, man, it has to come to an end.
Yeah.
Like, that's just so hard to go that long without losing. That's why what Alabama does and what Nick Saban does is very impressive to me, is how he motivates still, even though they dominate year after year after year. Belichick and the Patriots, you are a winning team and you dominate year after year after year. How do you keep everybody on the same page and practicing hard and mentally focused in, because there's always a chance for slip up, but they don't seem to do it.
Right, but we all know, though, we've all played sports. How cool is practice, though, when you're winning? It's a lot better than when you're losing.
Oh, it's a lot better.
Coach is in a good mood.
When you're losing, your coach is a dick, dude. I mean, he's mean. You better make this free throw. It's up downs for everybody. When you're winning, man, you guys shoot a couple free throws and let's head out. You guys want to go to Burger King? I mean, dude, it is so much funner when you're winning.
That's the problem. That's why you stop winning.
Okay, but so you want to keep that hunger when you're scared a little bit? You're kind of a little bit skittish?
So what does Saban tell him, you know? Because, I mean,
he's great.
You're right. The Burger King thing would be a thing. Oh, like,
dude,
guys, you all played great last week. So I got you all Burger King. Yes. All right, let's see.
Let's get you motivated. Hey, here you go. Whopper for you. Junior Whopper for you. You missed that tackle.
Who wants a beer?
Yay! Yeah.
But he's not doing that.
No.
Dang it.
So he treats it almost just like they lost. Like sometimes on Monday, they're like,
yes,
did
if
we
watch
lose
his press conferences sometimes when they win, he's like, just wasn't good enough.
He writes the final score on the chalkboard, 50-7. You think that's good enough? You think that's good enough?
Why didn't we score 57? And why did we give up 7?
And he circles the 7. Why did that happen? Dude, I want an answer right now. Why did
you know
that
he
happen?
Lectures all of them after they won? Is there ever a player that's just like, oh, hey, Nick, quick question. Scoreboard?
Yeah, like, hey, Nick, like, dude, we just beat LSU at LSU in Baton Rouge at night, 29-0. You think we should take the week off? Excuse me?
What did you say?
Your scholarship has been revoked.
Like, damn.
That'd be tough.
Yeah.
Because winning, you get complacent sometimes.
Sure.
You have
it's
to.
It's a good feeling.
But it's such a swag, though. You can just roll on that. It's the best feeling ever. With gambling, with anything, man, in life, when you're winning, it's awesome. How cool right now it feels to be like the Saints, to be Alabama, to be Duke. That's the greatest feeling there is.
Can you coach a team with just swag, though? Like, can you not yell at your players or make them work harder? Can you just be like, guys, we're the best in the world. Walk tall. Keep doing what you're doing.
Is there
like
a cool coach?
Is that enough?
Well, look at it.
Because confidence can win a game.
I don't think you can coach like that all year just with swag, because then you get cocky and you get complacent.
Look at the top teams right now in college basketball and in college football. You got Nick Saban.
Coach, you know that's been one game.
I know. Right. Nick Saban. Nick Saban and Coach K.
Hey. Dude, he is acting like
we're 3/4 into the season.
He is acting like we are seeing the best college basketball team in history of college
basketball.
Is
this a February podcast? Is March Madness around the corner?
There was one game last night.
One game.
Coach
K has anointed them the best college basketball team
of all time. Listen to me. Nick Saban, Coach K, not nice coaches. It doesn't pay to be a nice coach. If you're out there right now and you got a bunch of youngins, be a dick to them at practice.
Will you stop using that word? I want my son to listen to this.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And I think my sister said my nephew listens to this.
See? That was your uncle.
How old's your nephew?
Same age as Eddie's
kid.
He's
10.
Does he play football?
Every sport. I asked him.
You just put
what are you doing?
It's just a dip. It's a mint.
Does he play sports?
Every sport. And I asked him the hierarchy of his sports because I was just curious the youth in America nowadays. Yeah. And he said it goes football, basketball, baseball.
Really?
Yeah. Those are the three. That's the order.
Then soccer, obviously they don't have soccer up there because soccer is the fastest growing sport. So
I tried to teach him. It's Michigan.
I'll tell you right now, the kids in my kids' school and his age, they love soccer. Like they are in love with soccer. All the kids play soccer. And one kid is like, his parents are going to move to Dallas because he wants to be a soccer player and they have a good club there. Like, I didn't grow up that way.
Neither did I.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what Clint Dempsey, he would drive from Nacogdoches, Texas to Dallas for practice. It's like, I don't know, two and a half hours, something like that. I don't remember.
There's some kind of club there that just connects you to the Major League Soccer teams or something, or I don't know who's there.
Is he that good?
He's really good, yeah. The kid's good. Okay. Yeah, he's 10 too. I mean, really good.
You don't see a lot of amazing soccer players coming from the north because it's just a weather pattern. When the snow starts to come, it's harder to kick the soccer ball. It's not a year-round sport. If it's a year-round sport, you're going to see a lot of southern people being better at soccer, being more into soccer. Tennessee, boom, here in Nashville. That's why your kid loves soccer. My kid, my nephew, above Mississippi, above the Mason-Dixon line, not into soccer.
Did you grow up with hockey in your town?
Yeah.
Like the lakes just froze up and you guys would play?
Yeah. Yeah, our lake freezes up hockey time, man. But you got to go a couple
amazing.
Months. You got to make sure it's thick enough because that's when you lead to the rescues, the water rescues where you're calling, 911.
But the neighborhood gets together and they're just like, hey, guys, it's frozen. Let's go play.
Oh, hockey's unbelievably huge. Like, it's bigger than anything there is. Because if you can actually, it's pretty simple to learn how to skate. Once you do that, then you learn how to hit the puck. It's a pretty great high when you make a goal. And so then you add that with other kids playing on an ice rink. It's amazing. It's better than basketball. It's better than football.
My dad played ice hockey growing up in Chicago. Whenever the pond would freeze, they would play. And he said it was so fun. And then they got to the age of about 12, he said. And he goes, once we started lifting the puck off the ice, he was like, now nah, we're going to go and we're out. That hurt.
Like people getting hit.
Oh, yeah. He's like, we didn't have pads or anything. He goes, once we could lift the puck, we were like, I don't think we're going to play hockey anymore. It's not fun anymore.
Well, I always wonder, too, because doesn't the lake freeze with ripples? Like, it's not smooth, right? Smooth surface.
Surprisingly, it is pretty
smooth. I was
going to
say,
smooth.
It's pretty smooth.
Really?
Yeah. It's a clean sheet.
Oh, Coach, the guys make their own. They'll just be a rich neighbor who's got a hole in the ground, and he'll add water to it, and you've got a perfect thing. People can go figure skate on it.
I've thought about doing that here in Nashville, because there's like 1 week out of the winter that freezes, you know? And like, I thought about just getting it all wet, getting that thing, and doing like a little ice rink in the backyard for the kids.
It'd be amazing because of the weather, very difficult, but I just learned across the street for me, they're going to do an ice rink this winter.
Really?
And I'm like, do they know we live in Nashville? That's going to cost a fortune to keep cold.
Yes, it's not cold enough.
They're going to do it a block away from me starting in like a month.
Really?
There's going to be an ice rink at the amphitheater.
What they do is they cover it like in a tent, and then they keep it cold in that tent.
Oh, so it's not like an outdoor rink.
I mean, you can't because, the weather will melt it.
If it is an outdoor rink, it has to be small for them to keep it cold because they do it right next to Bridgestone where the Predators play. There's a chunk of ice, but it's so small because they have to keep it cold. It can't be big. So whatever.
Remember in Austin, they had it at Whole Foods. They had it for
two
months, and it was outdoors. They made it happen.
Really?
Yeah. And the reason I was asking about your nephew and your kid playing sports because a Tuscaloosa father, he's a dentist, he was arrested after slapping a kid at a youth football game. He was working the chains. And someone tackled his kid. One of the other players tackled his kid, so he slapped the kid for tackling his son.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't get that.
Like Marcus Dempsey is his name. Your son playing football. Football.
He's supposed to get hit. It's part of the game.
Yes.
But I feel like there's more to the story because, you know, when you see your kid getting mistreated or something, a cheap shot or whatever, you do get emotional about it. Like, you could get angry, but enough to go and slap another kid, you got something wrong with you.
That's a good reporter, thinking that there's more to a story.
There has to be more to the story because you just don't like, oh, he's playing a game where he's supposed to get hit, he gets hit, and you go up and slap the kid that hit him? Like, that doesn't make sense.
I love, though, that. That's the news reporter in you. You were given two parts to the story, you got to find that third part.
Well, don't you think, Coach, unless he's just messed up. Like, unless he's just messed up and he's going to go slap this kid, there's something more to that, I would think.
He saw that his son had been injured during a tackle.
He got injured.
Come on. And he's a dentist. Like, this has to hurt your business, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I see my dentist on the news is slapping a kid at a youth football game, I don't care what the reason
is. I'm not going to that dentist anymore.
Am I going to go sit in his dentist chair?
Nope.
Eddie, have you ever thought about doing that?
No.
You're staying
because you're a yeller. You're a yeller, though, dude.
Guys, y'all blow that out of proportion. I yell to encourage my kid. I don't yell and like get mad at him while he's playing. I encourage him.
I'm still trying to decide when I have kids. Am I going to be the yeller parent or am I chilling back in the truck, hanging out in the back in the flat?
Well, aren't you going to be the coach?
I don't want to be the coach.
No, oh,
coach,
man, I want to be the coach.
Of course, I want to be. But as of right now, what I'm looking at my job pattern wise, I'm not going to have the free time to be a coach. I'm definitely going to just be a parent that goes hopefully to a majority of my kids' games. Not all of them. Not going to be able to be that.
You talk about the coach. My 5-year-old, he just lost his coach. His coach for 3 seasons. I mean, the dude's great. He played ball somewhere, maybe Tennessee or something. I mean, he was a baseball coach, and he knew exactly. Dude, he turned this team into like a winning team.
That's
like,
impressive,
all these
actually.
Little 5-year-olds, 4 to 5-year-olds, are just playing baseball by the end of the season, like solid baseball. And he's quitting. He's like, I can't do it anymore, man. Like, my kid's getting older, and I'm not going to coach anymore. I'm like, oh, I was so upset because a good coach makes a world of difference. Like, I can't go in there. I don't know enough to help these kids out.
It's youth level. The coaching is not that outstanding.
Yeah, but this guy just knew how to do it.
That dude played at Tennessee. That's impressive.
He just knew how to teach 5-year-olds how to do it.
Right. I'm just saying, it's more about having fun for the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you see him at 5 making the right decision and instead of throwing it to first, like holding it, like stuff like that, like I would have never thought that. Like,
Coach, you need to step in and coach him.
Yeah, you do.
I'll mess him up. I'll have every kid like run to home, forget first. Like, no, throw it to first. Like, just
dude, all your players will be swinging for the fences on the tee ball. What, they still play tee ball, right?
No, it's pitch.
Okay,
and that's another thing. The coach has to pitch. Yes.
Oh, the games would be forever with you. You'd never be able.
No, they only get 3 pitches, and then it's out.
Well, three pitches, and then the last one, if they strike three times, then they have a chance to hit off the tee. If not, they could do a fourth. It's okay. Up to them.
All right. Well, yeah, I just thought it was crazy that his dad slapped an opposing player. Like, come on, parents. Like,
I might have to investigate that one, Coach. There may be more to the story. No, he's lost it.
What else could be the story? He hit the kid.
He was provoked by the kid.
The kid taunted. He did horns down.
Oh.
Or he said war eagle instead of roll tide because they're in Tuscaloosa, and that's mm-hmm. them fighting words down there.
Them fighting words.
Dang. Yes, sir. And you said he's a dentist? He's a smart guy, man.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying.
Guys, just because they're book smart doesn't mean they have common sense.
So he just he's crazy about his job studying the books. Now yeah. he has a kid.
So
and
he knows becomes, about teeth.
And he learns what passion is, and then he just goes out
and
on
he
a
needs
kid.
To learn that if your son is playing football, he can get hurt. So if he gets hurt during a tackle, don't attack the other teammate.
And then where was the other kid's father? Because if I saw this dude come up and slap my kid, there'd be a fight.
Well, and that kid's going to get free cleans for life, my man. You want some veneers? Boom, you're hooked up.
That's true. Yeah, you got a cavity, I'll fill it for free.
Yep.
It's the least he could do.
All right. We're out of here. Happy day.
Thank you guys for listening. Sore Losers Show on Twitter. And we'll see you tomorrow.